BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Five Lives, Rugby Union Daily.
Wednesday morning, it's the Rugby Union Daily, and we are with the man of the moment. We think. We think. DC might be getting 100 caps this week.
Hopefully, Christopher. Team's not announced yet, but yeah, fingers crossed, touching wood. Yeah.
Oh, it's normally a good sign that he's here.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to.
But am I here just because of our
connections? This comes back to are you getting a pod appearance or?
Well, apparently not, because Graham told me last week that I'm not. So I'd accounted for that.
Okay.
It's got some score
fees. Well, let's assume you're going to be involved.
Hopefully.
However way it might come. And you're finally going to get there. to 100 caps, 16 years.
Yeah.
After your debut. How should we do this, Ashley? Should we go through a little bit? And we do need to talk about the
16
game.
Years, including sabbatical, or is that?
16 years, yeah, over the span is okay. 08 to yeah. 24.
Would it, on his Wikipedia page, would it say?
It would say 08 hiatus. To 18.
Drop back.
22.
24.
No, but then just 22 to 23, then 20. I don't know, because there was also
I've been dropped more times than you've moved clubs, mate. So it's a lot.
Actually, that's because how many times you moved clubs? 7, 8 times?
No, it wasn't many. I forgot. It wasn't many.
It was a lot. But that's one of our running gags on the pod. Anyway.
It wasn't many. I've had more hotel rooms than you've been dropped, maybe. That might be a better one.
on one trip. Okay, we're in the England team hotel. We're with the 100 cap man, Danny Kerr. We will talk about England-Ireland at the end of the pod. But let's go through a little bit of a sort of potted history of Danny's international career to date, because I'm going to ask a few questions, Danny, with some sort of trivia questions with interesting answers. I think
this is a bit like a quiz.
It's a bit of a sort of "This Is Your Life" quiz question that then leads into a discussion.
Got a big red book for me.
So 2008, New Zealand.
Yep,
the first cap, came off the bench in the first test.
Yep,
who did you replace?
Richard Wigglesworth.
Was he having a stinker?
We were getting battered. The whole team was getting battered. I'll be honest, I don't remember anything about the first game. Nothing. I remember the second test because it was my first start, but I don't remember anything.
Coming off the bench, really?
Right. Honestly, like when you remember certain games, certain moments.
Yeah, a moment like that, surely no.
Not really.
You can't picture.
Like, I can picture kind of it going on, but it's a long time ago. And my main memory of that is the second test getting the start. I can remember that game quite well. Yeah. But that first 20 minutes or whatever I got, no clue.
Okay, so that's a good start.
Good start, yeah.
Take us to which city was it in?
It was in Auckland.
Okay, it was in Auckland.
I know that.
At Eden Park. One of the great cathedrals of rugby union worldwide.
What I do remember is the haka. I do remember being stood there as a 21-year-old who still probably thought he was a footballer or wanted to be a footballer, thinking, like, this is mental. Like, legends of the game. You know, Richie McCaw, Dan Carter, Mar Nonu, Rodney Soialu, like all these massive blokes. And I was like, what is going on here?
And obviously, were you playing at the time?
At Quinn's.
You were at Quinn's.
Yeah. I was at Quinn's. So I'd had obviously a taste of professional rugby, but to do that against them, and I remember it just going like so quickly, thinking they are a decent team. This is mad.
But you got battered.
But we got battered, yeah. We got battered both games.
But you must have done enough to get a start the week after.
Well, yeah, I think, I don't know, they gave me an opportunity to start the week after.
Who was the coach?
The coach was... So Martin Johnson had been named as coach, but I don't think he came on the tour. I think Rob Andrew led the tour. And Mike Ford was coaching.
You're right, though. Before Johnson. It was before Johnson took over.
Yeah.
I think he was having... Yeah, there was something maybe having a... child. I can't remember exactly the detail why he didn't.
Yeah.
He'd been appointed post Brian Ashton. Rob Andrew was the temporary coach. So that's your memories of your first test.
Yeah.
Your extensive heartfelt memories.
Yeah.
But at least we know it was in Auckland. And at least we know you're replacing Richard Wigglesworth.
How did you get on the week after?
The week after, again, battered. We got battered.
Right.
But I'll remember scrum going down, penalty getting given, went for a quick tap and scored a try.
Okay.
And I remembered that was... that feeling of scoring a try, for me is why I played the game when I was little. It's not making big tackles or that sort of thing. And to score a try for England, I was like, wow, I want to do that again and again. But I remember being behind the post probably the fourth time they'd scored a try after 20 minutes, thinking, like, this is insane. Like, they are so good. And Dan Carter that day, I just remember, was just... We couldn't touch him, couldn't get anywhere near him. But I remember just at the end of the game thinking, I want to do that more. I want to do that as many times as I possibly can, because there was no feeling like it, even though we did get annihilated.
Yeah,
it was a hell of a feeling.
Who was your fly half? Do you know this?
Charlie Hodgson, maybe?
Maybe. I just looked up who he replaced.
Right. I can't remember coming. Can you remember your actual debut of playing?
For Leeds?
Yeah.
Not really. Oh, no, I do, because it was in Spain.
Right.
I broke my leg.
Oh, I played fly half, remember
so that
then.
Was quite a different...
Yeah, I can remember coming off the bench there and getting absolutely smashed. That's Gary.
Your fly half was... Well, the first test was Charlie Hodgson. Second test was Toby Flood.
All right, there we go.
So that was your halfback partner. Okay, we're going to move.
Got a text from him the other week saying, "What are you doing? Still playing?"
Yeah,
that's all it said.
And you said, "I don't know."
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure, mate.
2009, Croke Park.
Yeah.
Okay, one of your infamous moments.
Yeah, good memory that.
Yeah. So you came off the bench.
Yep.
You charged into a ruck.
Yep.
Got yellow card.
Yep.
Sent Martin Johnson nuts.
Yep.
Who was your captain that day?
My captain that day was Steve.
Yeah.
Let him down. I let everyone down that day. It was a bad day. It was a bad moment. It wasn't even a good hit from into the back of one. I still claim that the prop went down very.
It was like a push, very. Wasn't it?
It was like a push in the back, and I remember just. I generally to this day, sometimes when your body does things, you don't know why you did it. Or I have no recollection of thinking I'm going to charge into the back of him here. It just happened. And then suddenly it was on the big screen and I'd just come on and I was getting marched off. And then Jono slammed the thing.
Yeah.
And I remember, because I'd spoke to my mum before the game and she just said, whatever you do, just don't get in trouble today. Just have a quiet game.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I've let her down as well. So I'd let so many people
Did he speak
down,
to you after the game?
To be fair, I got in. Jono gave me, you're watching it. Yeah.
We're watching it.
Yeah. Not my finest moment, boys, but you live and you learn.
2010.
Yep.
Australia tour.
Yep.
Good tour.
You were on it.
That's where I made my debut.
I thought you made your debut
sorry, France.
Early
it was
in
like
France,
my first...
you have a scoop either.
First try.
Right, okay.
My first try, yeah. On that
because point. The first test you started, second test you were on the bench.
Yeah, I was the only person that got dropped from test one to test two, CJ. And then...
Why was that?
We weren't awful in the first test, but we weren't great either. And then they were like, right, one change for this week, boys. Dees, you're out. And Youngsy came in.
Yeah, that was going to be the question.
Youngsy,
who replaced you?
Yeah, Youngsy dummy, rounded Drew Mitchell. Yeah. I remember me and Wiggy looking at each other. Wiggy was in the stands, I was on the bench. And Wiggy just going, it was an expletive, just basically... Yeah, me and him are done. And Youngsy is now going to be the nine for a while. And it turned out, yeah, he was right. He was the nine for
that
a while.
First test. Remember the second one, all that.
You're prepped for this, mate, as well.
That was pathetic, by the way. I can't believe you got a yellow for that.
It's mad, isn't it? Went down like a sack of spuds, it?
Okay, can you tell us anything about this one? 1st of December 2012.
That
you
was
beat,
New Zealand.
You beat New Zealand 38-21.
We saved Stewie Boy's job.
It was actually because he almost won the slam in 2012, lost to Wales at home, won 4 out of 5, then had a tough tour of South Africa, 2 losses and a draw, then a tough autumn, but an amazing win against
New Zealand. We lost South Africa by 9-6, something like that.
South Africa tough loss, Australia tough loss, and then beat New Zealand against the odds. 17 points from a young Owen Farrell, 3 tries scored by who?
Manu Tuilagi, Brad Barrett, and this lad, Ashton. Is that right?
That's right. You got the three.
Yeah. I genuinely remember because I've sat on that bench a lot at Twickenham, watching that game. Just going at the start of the game, just going, boys are on it. Like this is incredible. They couldn't tackle Manu, could they? They couldn't defend him. He was unbelievable that day. But there was Apparently, there was a big sickness bug that went around the New Zealand team. No, we don't need to mention that, but the lads, I remember just watching going, yeah, this is incredible, this is our day. And the lads were flying into everything. Everything sort of came off. It was almost the perfect game, I think, which never really happens, but it happened that day. And I got to come on at the end and just enjoy the fact that we were, 20 points up against New Zealand. Like, how many times can you do that? So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was a good day. Yeah, Manu was ridiculous that day, wasn't he? I don't think New Zealand knew what to do with him, really. He was just bursting through everybody. They nearly came back and got us at the end.
Yeah. What was the final score?
38-21. It was a great try. Like, Manny went, I think he went past, kind of handed off Carter and then gave it to you.
Yeah.
And you went in.
The other try was way better between him and Brad.
Yeah.
It was like a
exchange. Yeah.
That was the crucial try to put us too far ahead.
Yeah, and the Tulane got intercepted as well. No, great day, great win. Let's brush over March 2013 in Cardiff. I was going
to ask
which reality TV star called you. Yeah. What
did he? Jamie
Lang from Made in Chelsea tweeted, oh no, Danny Kerr's coming on.
He just said, why on earth is at Danny Kerr? Tag me in it.
Is that why you
even
ran
on
over
this pitch? That's why. Yeah, when I always remember clocking that and thinking, right, you live in Chelsea.
Yeah.
I don't live far from Chelsea. I often frequent places in Chelsea. I'm going to see this bloke at some point, and I'm going to tell him that. I want it to be one of those moments where the troll meets the person he's trolled. And I met him with a few of the lads, and on no uncertain terms, he absolutely bricked it, which was amazing. And we've actually since bonded from this and become friends.
Have you seen the clip of Ugo running over him?
In a charity match.
No, it's hilarious.
Brad Thorne broke three of his ribs, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he had a tough time that day, didn't he? Okay, Feb 2014, so 10 years ago, Ireland at home.
Okay.
You scored a try under the post.
I did.
Is that your favourite Twickenham memory?
I think it's definitely up there, because that week we just found out that Jody was expecting Blake. So it was a pretty mad week, because can't necessarily say we planned for his arrival to come that early. But we'd found out that week that she was pregnant. So obviously, was pretty special to know you're going to be a dad, and then to play for England. And I think it went, Robshaw to Brown to me on the inside to score a try, and I remember O'Driscoll and Sexton trying to chase me in for the try. And it's that feeling when you know you're in, and 80,000 people at Twickenham know you're in, was an amazing feeling. One of my best.
Try out of nothing as well. We ain't seen
came
any
out
of them
out,
these days.
Yeah, came out
try out of nothing.
Came out of nothing, which was great. To get that run-in feeling at home was amazing.
So that's 2014. 2015 World Cup, bit pop player, didn't get much rugby, did you? 2015?
No. But a big game against Europe.
Made up for it after, obviously, the Uruguay game. With 2016 in the Grand Slam and your try in Paris.
Yeah.
So the quiz question for that one is, which French prop did you hand off?
Oh.
Is it Poirot? Jefferson Poirot, very good.
Yeah.
Jefferson Poirot. That one or the Ireland one for your favourite try?
That one. That one for my favourite try for England, yeah. Because again, I mean, you scored loads of breakaway tries when you know you've scored, but a lot of my tries have been short distance or dummies and goes, whatever. Whereas that one, when I went through, you never get a 40-metre run in from a 9 snipe. Like, it never happens. But for whatever reason, Machinot was one side and the fullbacks completely the other side, and I had 40 metres to sprint through and dive and score a try, which in a Grand Slam deciding game, so... Mm. Yeah, that's my favourite try in an England shirt.
2017, you were really sort of growing into your cameo role when you're off the bench. Remember that Australia game in the autumn of 17?
Yeah.
Off the bench, scored.
Yeah. Two assists and a
try. Two assists, yeah.
We were talking about this earlier, because I actually nearly died the day before, because we went to Butterbean Cafe in Richmond. Normally have some Mars bar slices. They do incredible Mars bar slices. However, they were out of them. And I was like, right, well, I'm allergic to nuts. So I asked the waitress, can you just tell me something that doesn't have nuts in? She was like, I can categorically say that this chocolate chip cookie doesn't have any nuts in. I was like, amazing. Lad started having a coffee, started eating this cookie. Within two bites of this cookie, I'm like, it's got peanut butter in. 100% it's got peanut butter. And I'm obviously violently allergic to peanuts. And we went up to the woman, was like, is there any chance this has got peanut butter? She was like, nah, it's a Reese's Pieces cookie. I'm like, right, the peanut butter Reese's Pieces, yeah? She was like, oh, yeah, sorry. So I had a mad rush back to the hotel because I didn't have any antihistamines in me. So I had
How
to,
far away were you?
Richmond to Sion Park, so 15 minutes. So what you've got to do in this situation, you've got to react, you've got to adapt, you've got to overcome quickly, CJ. So I have to be violently sick, have to get it all out, as much of it as I can.
How did you do that? Make yourself sick? Just,
mate, I'm a pro at this, mate. I was quite an ill kid. Made myself sick, went to the shop, got some antihistamines, banged them, throat still not opening back up, so my throat's slowly closing. So we were like, right, and the lads started panicking. They're like, we've got to get you back. So we got a cab, got back to the hotel. The doc, I think it was Mike Bundy at the time, was like, right, we need to bang you on some oxygen. So I was sat in the physio room with this oxygen mask and a big tank and just breathing in. I couldn't, my airways were just closing and closing and closing. It was the closest I'd been to have an EpiPen. Didn't have the EpiPen. But bang this oxygen for about an hour, hour and a half. And the next morning, I've never woken up feeling fresher. I felt incredible. And then came on two assists and a try in 15 minutes. Probably should have got man of the match.
I remember it being quite the cabin.
It was a hell of a cabin.
Yeah, because it was quite tight that game until like an hour. And then
I think that's why I stuck in the 21 jersey for so long, that moment. But that girl nearly killing me, I think I owe her a lot.
Do you actually like starting for England, or do you actually prefer that role?
I honestly, Ashy, I love both. Like, obviously you want to play as much and as many minutes as you can for England, but if I'm given the role of, you know, you're probably going to get 20 or 25 minutes to come on and win a game, like, I love that feeling as well, so... And I've always, since Eddie, to be fair, he placed a massive emphasis on the finishers being as important as the starters and it being an 80-minute role sort of thing. And Steve's very similar. So,
What if the game's gone?
If the game's gone, then you can free yourself up to try a few things, probably. But I love being in the game at the end of a game. Yeah. So often and if you're a starter as a nine, you miss the end.
Yeah.
You miss almost the best bit. So... I've never, as long as I am involved and I can feel like I've contributed, then I generally
I'm just
don't
happy
mind.
To be involved.
Happy to be here. Yeah.
Nines are funny because you know you're always going to get on.
Should do. I mean, well, I didn't get on one
you're
game.
You're always going to get time, wasn't it? Your wing or whatever. You
what know, was the one game?
Stuart Lancaster didn't pick me. He didn't put me on in one game away in Ireland and we lost.
Oh, 15?
Maybe it was 15. I can't remember. But yeah, that was the only time where. So I could be sat here already on 100.
Stewie boy, he got you again, mate.
Just a couple more dates, and we'll pick you up on this weekend. 2018 played, then dropped for the summer, then brought back, and then into the wilderness you went.
Yeah.
Came out in 22.
Yeah.
And came off the bench nicely in the second test, but then. Withdrawn before half-time in the third test.
Early, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Do you want me to expand on
just
that?
Just expand on
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So...
was it a start? It was a start.
So I started the first test. We played quite well. Possibly should have won the game. Didn't see it out. Second test, JVP started. Jack Van Portfleet. Played brilliantly. Yeah. And like, played really, really well. Was his first start. And then the third test comes around and... Yeah, I get told by Eddie that I'm starting. And I was like, I was actually a bit shocked. It was, I was almost like, are you sure? Like, yeah. I was taught myself out of a start because Jack had played so well. But yeah, I got the start. And then, yeah, after 33 minutes or whatever, hadn't gone great for us. I got ejected, which was obviously awful. Like one of the worst feelings I've had on a pitch. And I'd been there when it happened to Luther Burrell, it happened to Tamana Harrison, and I'd been sat on the bench. And there's nothing you can say, like, it's the worst feeling because you've obviously had a stinker if you're getting pulled off that early. But yeah, then I got told by one of the backroom staff after that one of you was going before half time. And
as a statement,
apparently there was a coach the coach at the time was working with that had said, you'll make a far bigger impact on the team if things aren't going great by pulling someone off before half time rather than at half time, because it'll shock the rest of the team into a performance. And annoyingly, I actually agree with it. And it did have the desired effect, I think, because the boys, as I was walking off, a few of the lads were like looking at me going, you kind of don't want to catch eyes. But they almost, there's that feeling of like, felt so sorry for me. But in a way, like I said, I've said before, I prefer that it happened to me than a young lad, because I think I'm big enough and old enough to take it. But it was, at the time, was an awful, awful feeling.
So just doing the maths on your starts v bench games.
Yeah, go on.
I reckon you're definitely better off the bench for England.
Yeah, I think so, actually. I don't know the breakdown, but I think it's heavily weighted to
you've had
being on
some
the bench.
Really good impacts from the bench.
Yeah. But what does that say? Maybe that's...
No, I don't think it's about like Solskjaer and all these lads.
Yeah, maybe.
All these lads.
It's a job. Solskjaer and
Sheringham. Sheringham.
Yeah. No, I mean, Solskjaer is a good example.
Yeah.
Chicharito was a bit
Chicharito,
of a...
Yeah.
Bit of a superstar. But well, just to come to the present day,
yeah.
Back in for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Let's get to Ash's point, some nice bench cameos, particularly against Samoa.
Yeah.
Another nice try.
Yeah.
So those be a three favourite, would they?
Samoa's up
Ireland
there, yeah.
And France away.
To get a World Cup try was cool. And it to be a match winner in the end was pretty cool. So in a game that, yeah, we didn't play that great, but then we took an opportunity at the end. And yeah, they'd be my top three tries, I think, in an England shirt.
So on Ashley's point just there, were you gutted with how you went personally at Murrayfield?
Personally? I think whenever you lose a game like that and you're the one that started, you're upset. You're a bit annoyed. I think if, like, we can obviously never have that game back again. But if we could, I'm sure we'd have done a lot better. And I think we could have found a way to win that game. But we're too loose in too many areas, and against great teams, they're going to punish you. So personally, yeah, you come off and you go, oh, it's frustrating, you know. Wish we could. I could have shown a little bit more. Maybe I could have helped the team a little bit more, shown a bit more control. But another opportunity to learn from it. Still, I'm definitely still learning at 37. And whatever role I can play this week, then I'll give it anything.
Who's been your best coach?
Who's been my best coach
for England?
I've had some great ones.
The one that you've enjoyed.
We've had some not the. I generally, mate, the last year of being involved in this team, I've enjoyed more than
any others.
Than any others.
Really?
I think maybe it's because being a bit older and wiser, and I feel like my mental mindset for playing for England it's the most confident I've been in a way. Mm. I'm not worrying about little things. I'm trying to make the most of everything, so I feel like that frees me up a little bit to embrace it.
Mm.
And how many players have you spoke to over who've played for England that actually say they really enjoyed their time? I don't think there's that many. And I think that's one of the... Steve talks about it. He wants this group of players to really enjoy playing for England and not be worried about all the little things that come with it, of people trying to shoot you down or people giving you stick all the time. Like, we're trying to tell these young lads to embrace it and enjoy it as much as they can, which I think is tough. But me, the way I am now, that you never know which one's going to be your last, I've just said, well, I'm just going to enjoy it and have fun.
So what if it's not coaches, aside from the rugby stuff,
yeah,
in the England environment, which era, if you like, have you like enjoyed most? Which time?
Maro asked me this the other day, and I always say the time kind of that we had when it was you, Fodes, Dylan,
be like 2010-ish,
myself, 2010-ish, where we were the young boys coming through, and yeah. You had the legends of Johnny and Lewis Moody and Mike Tyndall, and that we were like the young energy givers.
Yeah, it was a good time, wasn't it?
I loved that. Like, we had so much fun together on and off the pitch.
It definitely got a lot more serious after that.
It did get more serious. It did get more serious.
We can understand it.
It just became a lot more.
Some of the stories you tell, I can understand why they wanted to tighten it up a little bit.
Mm. Do you think? That's a shame that that's been lost.
Oh, I think after
to
that.
To a point.
Yeah, no, I think there's a balance, isn't there?
Yeah, but we definitely saw the last part of that.
Yeah, we
burgled a championship in 2011 as well.
Yeah,
so.
Burgled.
We caught.
You won a championship. You wait for a snap.
We caught the good years. I think we definitely caught the good years of like it being loose
and turning more professional.
Yeah, and there was loads of good lads. We had a great squad, like good young boys with some awesome experienced lads as well. So that time, and then also I think the World. I loved the World Cup. I said that to you, and then I'm loving this now because. It's going to be my last one, so I'm just going to enjoy it.
And tell us about the weekend. I mean, it's going to be a special day, family, 100 caps all being well, Danny, but Ireland are coming to town.
Yep.
As 11-point favourites, England 4-1 with the bookies. A way to kind of rain on the 100 cap parade would be to take an absolute pasting. Are you, as this group, confident you can upset the odds on the weekend?
Yeah, we have to be. Obviously this weekend is, it's hopefully going to be a really special day for me and the family, but not that it doesn't matter if we don't get a result, but imagine how amazing it would be if we did get a win and we did get a proper result, something that I could remember forever, you know, to be in part of that game where we broke the streak of Ireland in the Six Nations and we had a massive win at home. Like, these are the games why I've still... Well, I'm still doing it.
Have you got it in you as a group, do you think?
I think we do. Yeah, I generally do. And I know a load of people are writing us off. And it feels like whenever you're playing for England at the minute, a lot of people don't want you to do very well, which I think needs to change. But part of that job is this team to show that and to show people why you should stick with this team. And I've said it since the World Cup, I strongly believe this team's going to go on and do great things. And whether it's this year, or it's next year, or it's 2 years, 3 years' time, I thoroughly believe that. And I think the foundations are being laid. And there's a big performance coming, and I can feel it. And we know we're going to have to bring that on Saturday, because the second best team in the world, statistically, are coming to town, and a lot of people's favourite team in the world. So,
you know, what about if you were playing New Zealand or you're playing South Africa? Right. I feel like you and maybe the other lads, everyone would have a different approach, right? They'd be like going, right, you're playing the best team.
Yeah.
Even you might have a different approach, like, they're the best, but so we're going to go out and play.
Yeah.
Is that now how people see Ireland? Like, no, I don't think people are necessarily writing you off.
Yeah.
Directly. I think just Ireland are that good that we're now going, how are you going to beat them kind of thing?
Yeah, I think they deserve all the credit they're getting, because... You watch them and they're an unbelievable machine. Like, the way they play, the speed of ball, their skill set, the way they attack from everywhere. But they're also very smart. They've got great coaches. You can see they're incredibly well coached. So we're testing ourselves against the best. Like, I think they play the best rugby? I think they have the ability to attack you in so many different areas that... they have an all-court game the whole time and you can't switch off for a second against them. So, yeah.
But there's opportunities.
There's opportunities, yeah. With that, there's opportunities. We see that in our attack and hopefully in our defence as well, that we see opportunities to try and cause them some problems, and we're going to have to play our best game for a long time. But we're confident that we can cause them some problems, and it's a game of rugby at the end of the day. Like, they are massive favourites. That's fine, but...
We're coming to Twickenham.
We've got to show them what it takes to try and win a game at Twickenham. Hopefully we'll pitch up on a weekend.
And just finally, because when you went to Murrayfield, played a bit more rugby maybe than some people expected, made a lot of mistakes. Do you have to go back to kind of more of the World Cup style against Ireland? Do you have to keep down this road of trying to evolve, but without much time and with changing combinations? Feels from the outside there's a lot going on at the moment in this camp. How do you get that all right in the space of 2 weeks?
A massive belief in what we're doing. We do believe that what we're practicing on the training field is going to come to fruition, and it has to this weekend. So Scotland was a bit of a disjointed performance. We know that, and we know we can be a lot better than that. And we made a lot of errors, unforced errors that you wouldn't normally make. And we know we can't do that again, especially against this team, because there should be a fear there that if you get it wrong against Ireland, you're going to get beat, because they're a brilliant team. So there is that fear, but also the, without a shadow of a doubt, the belief coursing through the squad that let's go and have a go. Like, we're not going to die wondering on Saturday. That's for certain. We're gonna give it a crack, and I can't wait to hopefully be a part of it.
Good stuff, Danny.
Thanks.
Well, great to chat to you.
Thanks, lads. Yeah.
Great job.
A couple of weeks, mate, you'll be back home.
Yeah.
Back on Paddy's couch.
Yep. Can't wait, boys. I missed you. Yeah. I've missed you.
Well, mate, 16 years, decent longevity.
Any danger of us telling you what you're doing next year yet? No?
I generally don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just keep us guessing.
Still in the pipeline, so... nothing's been decided yet. So we'll have to wait and see. Could you check, Joe? Am I the person who's had the most bench appearances in international rugby?
Oh, you've got to be.
Yeah,
surely.
I have to be. Yeah. I'll take that record.
Yeah, why not?
Let's assume.
Yeah. It's there. You might as well take it.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I will take
it. Well, the sixth man. And then another five quickly.
Jason Leonard.
Yep.
Courtney Laws.
Uh-huh.
Ben Youngs.
Yep.
Faz.
Mm-hmm.
Is that five? Have a name five?
Dan Cole.
And Coley, obviously. The Sheriff. Hopefully the sixth, yeah.
Good luck.
Thanks, mate.
What kind of cap do you get?
I have no idea.
Right. Surely there's a Rolex or something coming.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? In the RFU?
Has to be.
They make some decent money off these games, don't they?
Should be.
DC could have a nice Rolex.
Red carpet. Maybe even a BA.
Maybe a car.
Maybe even drop you out of the plane.
Yeah.
You come to the game out of the plane.
That'd
out of
nice.
A BA plane.
Yeah. Just want to win, boys. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Take a win.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Danny.
Cheers, lads.
The drama.
They're having to be separated. They've both been shown the red card.
The entertainment.
And score!
The superstars.
Foden! Oh, yes!
What a goal.
Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. I'm Mark Chapman, and every week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
They have this dynamism and this quality that they can play anywhere. They need to prove themselves in scoring more and more and more goals.
I think if they don't win the title this year, the season is a failure in the league.
Planet Premier League. Listen on BBC Sounds.